It's the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. A prayer of the prophet Habakkuk according to Shigayonoth. O Lord, I have heard of your renown, and I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In your own time, revive it. In your own time, make it known. In wrath, may you remember mercy. And also, let us turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 and 2. The book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 and 2. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. May God always bless the public reading of his inspired and infallible word.
Tonight, I am excited and delighted to welcome you online and here to our baptismal service. In a few moments, we are going to be baptizing 15 candidates as they make their way through the waters of baptism. Let's encourage them. Now, if you're going to encourage them, but don't half-heartedly encourage them. Let's encourage them. Thank you. We are praying for you. We're asking God to give you grace and to anoint you and to equip you. The promises that you are going to make are really important, and I honor you for being willing to make them. We are thankful to God for your faith. We're thankful to God for your journey of faith, and we pray that tonight will be a new chapter for you, that it will be one that is supercharged. That was a word that was given to us before the service began. Supercharged with a sense of expectation and filled with a sense of God breaking through in your lives. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing, but I know this, brothers and sisters, God is faithful, and he is no person's debtor. And as you declare your allegiance to him, our prayer is that God will strengthen you and pour out his spirit on you and renew you and revive you. Amen. One of the candidates will not be filmed because we just want to make sure that their identity is protected and that they are aware of our arms wrapping around them to make sure that they are held safe tonight, because for them, getting baptized is a real risk. They're stepping into a public statement of faith for Jesus, and we want to honor them tonight. So this is an important night. And I want to reflect for a few minutes on why these candidates are getting baptized, but also to ask you here in the room and you online whether you are walking with Jesus and whether you might consider following him and committing your life to him. The two readings that you heard Gabriel bring were from two different prophets. One is called Habakkuk, and he was alive about 620 and 580 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, under the reign of a king called Jehoiakim in Israel. The other was a prophet called Isaiah. And depending on how you read the way the book of Isaiah was written, then he was either prophesying about 400 years before the birth of Jesus, or as I believe, about 750 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the two men had basically the same prayer. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Revive us, O Lord, in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. These two men, separated by hundreds of years, wanted God to reveal himself to their generation. In fact, Habakkuk, when he prayed, said, in our time, twice, do it in our time. And it is my prayer tonight for the candidates that as you are baptized, God will visit you, that you will experience a filling of his Holy Spirit, that his breath will rest on you, and that you will enter a time of revival and awakening in your own lives. What is that? Revival or awakening are two different things. They're the same thing experienced by two different groups of people. Revival is when those that already have faith are brought into a new sense of faith. They are revived. They are strengthened. They are given new energy, new life, new passion, new power, and new purpose. Awakening is when people who don't have faith are brought to faith. They're brought into a living faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you know this. Many of you will. But across the last year or so in the United Kingdom, there has been a lot of research that has been taking place to evidence that a revival and an awakening is happening in people that are about your age. Here's the evidence. It's taken from a bit of research called The Quiet Revival by the Bible Society, but other people have been looking into this too. Back in 2018, they took a sample of 19,000 people. That's a big sample for statistical research. Normally, samples are between 1 and 3,000. They took a sample of 19,000 people back in 2018, and they established that about 8% of the population were going to church at that time. And 4% of 18 to 35-year-olds were going to church at that time. We're attending church regularly. This year, they did further research, about the same size of sample, slightly smaller, but going back to looking at what was happening in the UK, and the attendance had gone from 8% to 12%. Now, you might say, well, what does that mean? That means that in 2018, around 3.7 million people were attending church regularly. In 2025, 5.8 million people are attending church regularly. That's a significant jump. But more interestingly than that, they discovered that 4% of 18 to 35-year-olds in 2018 were attending church or open to spiritual things. But in 2025, that had jumped from 4% to 16%. 16% of 18 to 35-year-olds are now self-describing as Christians and attend church regularly. That is, by anybody's measure, a remarkable change. Alongside that, there's research about people coming to faith in France, in Germany, across Europe. I would suggest to you that across the United Kingdom tonight, and particularly across the city of London, more and more people are open to and interested in who Jesus is. They want to know how he can impact their lives. And do you know where the biggest growth is happening in the church right now? Two areas. One is the Roman Catholic Church. And the other, by a clear country mile, is a Pentecostal church like this. They are looking, people are looking, not for a church or a faith that just reflects what the culture believes. They're looking for God. They're looking for the mystery of who God is. They believe in and want to know more about the supernatural, about the God who speaks and moves and touches and changes and transforms lives. Maybe one of you is here to support one of the candidates for baptism and you're interested in God, but you haven't yet trusted him. Well, let me tell you, God is here tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he is able to change lives. He's able to change your life. Maybe you're already a Christian. And you need God to revive you. Your faith is low. Your expectation of God is low. You've gone through some tough times or hard times. Well, the prayer of Habakkuk and the prayer of Isaiah is my prayer for you tonight, here and online. Oh God, come down. Rend the heavens. Come and visit this place. My prayer for the baptismal candidates is that God would rend the heavens and come down and rest on you. That it wouldn't just be a religious service, but that you would experience the power and the presence of God. I believe that's possible. And he is raising a cry in this house for revival, for renewal, for awakening, for quickening. But if you are a Christian, I want to say this to you. That's already begun. It's not something we're waiting on. It's already begun. Across the last 12 to 14 months in this church that you are visiting tonight or you're a regular, almost 2,000 people have made first-time commitments to Jesus Christ. We have baptized hundreds. God is at work in Kensington Temple. He is changing lives. He is healing bodies. He is transforming situations. Maybe he will transform you tonight. Maybe he will come by the power of his Holy Spirit and touch you. Maybe you've never been baptized and you're saying to me, why are these people going to go into freezing cold water? It's not that cold. And declare their allegiance to Jesus. Well, when they go into the water, according to the book of Romans, chapter 6, they are declaring that their old life is dead. They're being buried with Jesus. And when they come out of the water, they are declaring that they believe that the resurrection life of Jesus lives in them. They're declaring the old is gone and the new has come. This water is like a grave, but a watery one. They are plunged into the water and they are pulled out. And as they are pulled out, they are identifying with the resurrection of Jesus. And the Bible says this, that every person who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord must be baptized. Because it is a moment when they declare, I am part of the church. I am unashamedly a follower of Jesus. And I pray that more and more people will be baptized here in Kensington Temple. Let me let you into a prayer. My prayer is that we will get to the place where we are opening the baptismal tank every single Sunday. And that we are seeing people baptized every single Sunday. And I believe we will see that. I believe that will happen. I wonder if we're ready for it. What does God need to revive in you tonight? Does he need to revive faith? Does he need to revive hope? Does he need to revive joy? Are you wandering from him? Could he draw you back? Does he need to revive your prayer life? Does he need to revive your worshiping life? Does he need to revive your obedience? Does he need to revive your expectation? God is present. He is here to revive women and men. This house was bought in 1931 and became Kensington Temple. Up until that point, it would be called Horbury Chapel. You can see the stone outside. It was built in the 1820s and 1830s by a group of people from a movement called the Congregational Church. Horbury Crescent, which is just behind the building here, is named after the church, not the other way around. And this was built as a station or a place where the poor would be served, the good news of Jesus would be proclaimed, Bibles would be distributed, and people around the world would be reached with the good news of Jesus. That's why they built Horbury Chapel. And in 1931, a man called George Jeffreys bought this building and opened it as Kensington Temple all those years ago. And God started to move in revival power in the room that you are sitting in. Right here, people who had broken bodies were healed by the power of Jesus Christ. There were women and men who were brought into this building unable to walk, and they left able to walk, and they left their crutches and their wheelchairs behind because God had touched them. There were people who were unable to hear who were brought into the building that you're sitting in, into this room, and their ears were opened and they could hear. People who could not see who could then see. They used to have to put a sign outside the building. We've still got it somewhere. And it said, church full, no room. Then the building went through difficulties. And in the Second World War, the numbers declined and the church faced real hardship. And in 1965, a man called Eldon Corsi and his wife Vivian, who were leading a church just up the road in Holland Park, came into this building again when it came back into the movement that we are part of today. And they went down to clear the cellar. It wasn't as you see it now. It was just a low space. It was turned into the lower hall that it is now in the 1980s by a man called Wynn Lewis. But when they came and they went into the building, they were clearing it. 17 of them. Look at the size of this room. 17 people came back into this building in 1965. And they stood in the middle of it. And they said, Lord, would you revive this work? And when they went to clear the cellar, they found the crutches that people had left behind. They found the walking aids that people had left behind. They find the sign that said, church full. They find all the evidence of what God had done 30 years before. And they said, Lord, do it again. By 1980, this building was filled again. God had moved in revival power again. And a man called Wynn Lewis became the minister here. And between 1980 and 1990, this church grew from 700 people to 5,000 people. God revived the work. He did it again. And then from 1990, 91, 92, a man called Colin Dye and his wife, Amanda, became the leaders of this church. And at its height in the late 1990s and the early noughties, there were almost 17,000 people that were part of Kensington Temple, London City Church, across London. God did it again. Amen. He has revived this house in 1931, in 1965, in 1980, in 1990. And I believe that he is going to do it again in the name of Jesus, that he is moving amongst us. I have no doubt about it. We are gearing ourselves up. We are getting ready. But here is the cry of my heart for this house. Oh, Lord, revive your work. And I don't want them just to revive the number of people that are attending. We are already growing. There are several thousand that are part of our church family, around 2,500 members now, and thousands more that attend and engage on a weekly basis. That's not my prayer. My prayer is that God will revive you, that he will revive your faith, that he will speak into your life, that he will cause faith to rise in you, and that you will see things that you have never seen before. So my message is threefold tonight. And short, I'm nearly finished. And you all said, hallelujah, there must be a revival. First of all, my prayer is for the candidates, that God would revive you. Secondly, I'm praying that he would speak to those online and in the room that are not yet followers of Jesus, that he would awaken you. There is no one in this house that he can't reach. There's no one that he can't save. There's no one whose lives cannot be transformed by his power and by his grace and by his mercy. But do you have the courage to ask him? When Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And as he died on that cross, we are told that a curtain that hung in the temple was ripped apart from the top to the bottom. It's the same word that is used in Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would tear open heaven and come down. When Jesus died on the cross, God tore open heaven. He said, I have come to rescue my people. I have come to forgive those that need forgiveness, to heal those that are broken, to give life to those that are dying, and to give hope to those that are hopeless. If that is you, whatever your background, whoever you are, the Lord Jesus Christ is here tonight by the power of his presence, the Holy Spirit, to rend the heavens and come and meet you. That's my second prayer. And my third prayer is for those of you that know and love Jesus, that God would meet you tonight, that he would revive you, that he would pour out his Spirit on you, that you would be touched, that you would be changed and transformed. I am convinced that there are people in this room that need a fresh touch from Jesus. That they are tired and discontent with just functioning day after day and week after week. And what they want is a fresh touch from Jesus Christ.